or visit mycatholiccu.org. These credit unions are federally insured by the NCUA.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
You are listening to More to Life, where we explore the life we were all meant to live through the theology of the body. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we are talking today about staying connected to God. Our show title, Can You Hear Me Now? God goes to such great lengths to stay connected with us. But I don't know, I'll speak for myself, but a lot of times I feel like that he's breaking up.
The call dropped off.
The call dropped,
there.
You know, and so we're doing that whole, hey God, can you hear me now?
And you know, Greg, it's a very apt metaphor, because there are those times, you know, let's use the metaphor of dropping those cell phone calls. Now, our daughter sort of is the keeper of the family phone. She's the one who assists us in all things. So her phone is a slightly higher grade phone than the other kids' phone, okay? So on her phone, sometimes we get better cell reception. On the other ones, forget about it. Greg tried to have a meeting on one the other day. It was a mess. Has a lot to do with what's going on around you, right? It's do you have a higher quality situation going on? In other words, did you put a little bit more effort into getting that one?
Yeah, are your antenna attuned,
exactly,
if you will?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, did you put more effort into your prayer life or to having that connection with God on a certain day than you don't on another day? With the phone, if you're surrounded by mountains like we are around here, you get a drop-off. If you're surrounded by, you know, certain kinds of wires, you get a drop-off. If you're passing a really tall building, you can get a top drop-off.
If you're not wearing your tinfoil hat,
you can get
a drop-off.
You know, there are those things that keep us less connected to God. The stressors in our lives, the anxiety those stressors are producing that crowd out God's voice, the craziness and busyness of our lives when we're, you know, not getting in the time we need with God because we're running to the 95th activity for the kids in the day,
exactly,
or the 80 billionth meeting for work or working on, you know, some project all weekend long. These are things that can often crowd out the voice of God.
Well, it's so easy. And the reality is, you know, God wants that connection with us. You know, the theology of the body talked about the original unity between man and woman and God. You know, Pope John Paul II really emphasized the fact that at the very beginning, you know, God had that intimate union. He was right there walking alongside. We could hear his voice all the time. We could always feel connected to him. I mean, how awesome would that be to really have that kind of closeness? Unfortunately, after the fall, you know, we lost that original unity to original sin. And, of course, God has been doing everything in his power to get us back since then, through the incarnation, through the sacraments, all of that. We can never achieve that that same tightness, if you will, that same closeness of unity this side of heaven. You know, when we go to the eternal wedding feast, hopefully we will have that same unity. But now, this side of heaven, we can work to achieve that by participating in the sacraments through prayer, through his grace. But the problem is, like, literally, 98% of our lives is not spent in quiet prayer or the sacraments. And I mean that literally. You know, there are like 20...
You ran the numbers.
I did run the numbers. I was actually talking to somebody yesterday, and we were just kind of thinking about you know, what it takes to stay connected to God. We were reflecting on the importance of that individual prayer time, that quiet time with God. But then it sort of dawned on me that, you know, even if you take, let's say you take a half an hour of quiet time with God a day, or even an hour, okay, that amounts to 30 to 60 minutes.
And that's, come on, face it, not a lot of us manage to squeeze in a whole hour.
I will confess
that's true.
That I don't. I try.
When I was a single young woman, I could. You know, I could go to the Eucharistic Chapel at Franciscan University, or go to my room before I went there when I was in high school. I had those, you know, at least 1 hour prayer experiences a day. As a busy mom, much harder to fit in. And often I do that. I'm going, okay, the kids are asleep or they're busy, or I'm going to pray. And then I pass out. I just fall asleep.
Sure.
I count on Saint Teresa of Lisieux, who said in her biography that, you know, often she fell asleep in prayer because she felt that the divine surgeon was putting her under so that he could do his best work.
There
and
you
I try
I like
to,
that.
I try
we have faith.
To remember that when I wake up feeling guilty, going, oh, I only got halfway through another decade. Or.
But no, it's, I mean, but let's think about this. All right, if you actually manage to spend, let's say, even 30 minutes a day, even an hour a day, that works out to 30 to 60 minutes, right? Well, there are 24 hours a day, 1,440 minutes in a day. That works out to about 2 to 4% of your day if you spend 30 to 60 minutes in prayer. Is one-on-one quiet time with God. Now, that's awesome. We need that time. That 2 to 4% will get us through an awful lot. But what about the other 96 to 98% of your day that you're not getting that quiet time with God? Are you able to stay connected to Him then? Do you feel His presence then? Can you hear His voice then? Because, you know, that's where we live, right? And we have to be able to bring God with us in those situations and know what He's telling us to do in those circumstances. But it's really hard to sort it all out. So we're putting two questions out to all you folks today. And you can join us at 877-573-7825. The first one, we just want to hear your wisdom, okay? When do you feel closest to God? And when has God come through for you in a way that really made you feel His presence?
You know, I'm glad we're asking that question today, because there are a lot of folks out there who have not ever had that personal connection with God. Maybe you're having a hard time seeing those times when He's really come through for them. And often hearing what other people have to say kind of jogs our memory on how God has come through for us, or helps us to see in a different way experiences that we have had that maybe we kind of brushed over, so that we don't think, well, that was God coming through for me in my life. I didn't see that. So if we hear other people's experiences of their prayer life, or times when God came through in a way for them where they really felt like, wow, okay, that's God. This couldn't have happened without Him. It can change the spiritual eyes of so many other people when they hear that. So I really want to encourage our listeners, you know, if you've ever had that kind of experience with God where He's come through with for you, or there are times where you know you feel closer to Him, share it with your fellow listeners today, because you could really be calling somebody closer to Christ in sharing your experience at 877-573-7825.
Now, that's the first question. So when do you feel closest to God, or when has God come through for you in a way that really made you feel His presence? But for those of you who are having a tough time right now, you know, we also want to talk to you about those things that are causing you to feel distant from God lately. The idea of this original unity that Blessed Pope John Paul II wrote about in the Theology of the Body just seems like just something that's so far away, so unreachable, so unmanageable, or unimaginable, excuse me, that you can't even fathom it, right? So if you're going through those periods of unanswered prayer or dryness or doubts or frustrations, let's talk it out together and see if we can't help you get back on track. That we're also going to be sharing some tips throughout the program that will help you stay connected to God in that 96 to 98% of the time that you're not in one-on-one quiet prayer time with Him. But we're going to be talking about all that coming up today on More to Life. Join the conversation, 877-573-7825. Again, when do you feel closest to God? When has God come through for you? Or, you know, are you having a hard time feeling that connection? We want to hear from you either way. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns before the Lord in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the gift of faith. And we recall that unity you established with Adam and Eve before the fall. And we long for the restoration of that complete union with you in the celebration of the eternal wedding feast. Until then, Lord, we are infinitely grateful for the gift of your incarnation that wedded heaven to earth and the sacraments that lead to deeper union with you. But all that said, there are so many times when we feel distant from you, so many times when we feel alone or afraid or doubtful of your grace or your providence. Forgive us, Lord, for those times, and help us to find you again through the noise and through the darkness of our lives. Lead us kindly, Lord, with your light and with your truth. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. We're talking today about, well, can you hear me now? Ways to stay connected to God, both in those one-on-one times, but mainly throughout the day, when we're just so busy, so crazed, attending to so many things, that it can be hard to stay connected to him, to hear his voice, to know what he wants you to do in a particular situation. And, you know, on the Facebook page, we asked this question earlier. We're going to share more about that later. But we asked, you know, the question, when do you feel closest to God, like we're asking you guys now? And some of the answers were really fantastic. And one in particular, one woman wrote, "I feel closest when I'm holding my child."
That's lovely.
And it really is a beautiful thing. We're going to reflect on that a little bit more later on when we talk more about those Facebook answers. But I'm bringing that up because we have a caller, Lisa, in Ohio right now, who's got a question about her child and maybe what God is asking her to do in this situation. Hey there, Lisa. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi. Thank you.
You bet. What's up?
I have an 18-month-old who, let me start first. He's number six. My last daughter is four, and I nursed her until I was until I was pregnant with him.
Okay.
So I'm not, you know, opposed to nursing for, certain lengths of time.
Sure.
He's getting to the point where he wants to nurse all day long. Mm-hmm. Anytime I sit down, he crawls on my lap and wants to nurse. And not for, like, a second. It's like, he just wants to be there. So I thought that I would just try to wean him down to just before naps and, you know, at nighttime. Well, what's happening is he's just following me around screaming all day.
Oh, no.
And he doesn't know.
I feel so badly for both of you. My heart is breaking.
Oh, it's horrible. And he doesn't want to, you know, he obviously doesn't know how to comfort himself.
Right.
So I'm just wondering if there's a gentler approach, you know, somewhere in between this where I can maybe find a happy medium, you know, for both of us.
How heavy is this little guy?
You know what? That's another concern. He's very stocky, and people say he's, you know, he's got huge cheeks. But actually, in weight, he's only in the 25th percentile.
Ah, okay. Well, how much does he actually weigh? I'm not worried about how he looks. I'm worried about how much you're carrying.
Yeah, that'll all stretch
out eventually. 22 pounds.
He's 22 pounds. Okay.
Okay.
And here's an option, and I promise all you and all the listeners, I will talk about how you could possibly wean this guy down. But obviously, it's not just a matter of comforting himself, okay? There's something where he's saying, "Hey, Mom, there are five other kids, and this is my special time with you, and I really feel connected and safe. So can I get more of this? Because I really like having Mommy all to myself instead of sharing with five other people."
Yeah, because he's fine with me just holding him, too.
See?
You know?
It's not really about the weaning. So even if you, like, said, "That's it, I'm done with this," he'd still be trying to get closer to you.
Is it
at all possible at, you know, 20-plus pounds for you to feel comfortable putting him in a sling part of the day?
Like a hip carrier,
like
kind of
a hip-carrying sling. Not a front carrier baby sling, but a sling or a Mobi wrap, something where he could actually just be attached to you, feel comfortable, and you could still have your hands free to do all the other stuff. Is that anywhere on your radar?
I could try it. I'm not completely opposed to it. I do have a sling.
Okay, I would try that. A lot of moms don't realize that after, you know, the crawling stage, kids can still do that. I remember speaking in Edmonton, Canada once, and my, I guess then, 2-year-old or 3-year-old was getting a little antsy, hanging out with her brothers and sister, and I just took her in the middle of the talk, stuck her in a sling, and held her, and like 3 moms came up to me afterwards and said, I didn't know I could still put her in a sling out at that
age.
But you know what? It matters. I think it matters what kind of sling. Do you have a recommendation there? Because
there are
some slings are better than others.
There are, you know, the over-the-shoulder baby holder is wonderful. The Rockin' Mama is my favorite because there's no weight to it. So in this heat, it's wonderful because it's just rings and fabric. And it's not like, okay, it's 800 degrees out and I'm holding a baby and I'm going to die. So those are possibilities.
The goal here, and we're going to talk more about the weaning thing in just a second, but I just wanted to sort of bring this around to the where we're coming from in this. You know, an 18-month-old, some 18-month-olds more so than others, are still learning to develop some of that self-comforting strategy. And it's not a psychological thing so much as it is a brain development thing. All right?
Yeah.
And so the way the kid learns, any kid learns self-comfort, is through connection, physical connection. And the more physically connected you are, the more they're going to learn that. Now, some kids learn it more quickly than others, regardless of how much physical connection you give them. When you have a larger family, like you do, it tends to, the younger kids who come along tend to need a little bit more time just because there's so much going on, that there's so much stimulation and so much input that's more for their brain to process. So often you'll find that we'll get calls from larger families who say, you know, the first 4 were so easy, and now all of a sudden the 5th or the 6th or all of needs all this attention. Where's that coming from? And what's happening, they're really being bombarded with all the, you know, the joyful noise of family life, and so they just need more time to incubate, if you will. So if you can keep him close in that sling, you know, then you might not have to nurse so much, so you can be self-donative in a way that doesn't wear you out and drive you crazy.
Exactly. And even if you got, you know, like a Moby wrap that he was on your back, so you even had more room to, you know, cook and have the kids around and all of that, that's even safer in terms of getting dinner on the table. So that's one thought. In terms of the actual weaning, I'm not sure it's going to work for you because, as you said, he's still just following you around. He just wants you to hold him, whether he's nursing or not. So that, you know, but possibly setting a timer for yourself and saying, okay, you know, I'm going to give myself 10 minutes at the top of every hour to just sit and do something with him. I won't nurse him necessarily, but I'll build blocks with him for a few minutes, or I'll color a picture with him for a few minutes.
Okay.
If he gets that side-by-side time with you, he may be willing to let you kind of back off and then attend to all of his siblings and the chores and all the other stuff that's going around.
Well, because I noticed when I was nursing him, he just kind of was happy once he was done. You know,
right.
Gives
I think he needs... And what we often do, I know that I do this, and it's a habit you have to really be careful of as a mom. With the younger ones, we think they're not saying, Mom, 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 every 3 seconds. So we kind of say, okay, I'll take care of all this, and I'll get to you last, because you kind of came last. If we can remember to try to meet their needs for a few minutes first thing in the day, top of the hour, right after those things where we think we have to get to everything else. If we give them 5-10 minutes, often that satiates them enough to be able to then move off and say, okay, now I can play with my brothers or sisters or by myself.
But as frustrating as it can be, just try to remember that this is not coming from a place of manipulation or a place of being demanding. This is really coming from a place where, you know, his brain needs that connection with you to reset himself so that he can calm down.
I want to give you a resource that I think can tell you a lot more and might really answer your questions about the weaning, about how to do this with the siblings, the whole nine yards. It's called Mothering Your Nursing Toddler, and it's a great book. You can get it at any online bookstore. I know they also have it at the La Leche League website. It helped me enormously when I was tandem nursing 2 toddlers. Just kind of gets your head back in the right place. So it's called Mothering Your Nursing Toddler.
God bless you, Lisa. Thanks so much for the call. We're going to keep you guys in our prayers. Thanks for being willing to really respond as generously as you can to this little guy's needs. And if we can do more to support you in that very challenging process, we are here for you. Don't hesitate to give us another call. Lisa, I wanted you to actually share a little story that you were talking with, was it a sister, wasn't it?
It was
a friend of ours.
I know it's exactly what story you're talking about, because you had mentioned... you know, earlier that somebody on the Facebook page said they feel closest to God when they're with their child. You know, Lisa's being pulled in six directions here. When our youngest came home from China, I took her a few weeks after she was home to visit some sisters, the Sisters of Divine Mercy, here in Steubenville, Ohio, who are friends of ours and who had been praying for years that she would make it home. And we went off and we did a holy hour with them. Even, you know, the baby was in the sling. She was 15 months old. She was in the sling. We did the holy hour. We were hanging out together. And my sister, my friend, Sister Grace Kelly, yes, that is her name. She has been on the show. We were just kind of hanging out, and she was watching Lily, and she looked at me and she said, "Wow," with complete awe in her voice. She's like, "You don't even need a holy hour. You can just stare at her face to see the face of God." And that was so riveting to me, because it really is true, and it echoes one of my favorite quotes from a saint, Saint Francis of Rome, who said, "You know, even if you are with Christ in the real presence in the Eucharist, and one of the members of your family, or the smallest member of your family, needs you, you are to quit God at the altar and find him again in those people in your family who need you." And I emphasis on find him again, because it's not putting him on hold. It's really finding him in those people.
And that's really the invitation and the challenge that I think God presents to any parent who is trying to be a self-donative parent. Not just to serve their children, but to find him in that service. And so, you know, we really encourage Lisa and all parents out there who are doing the really hard work of trying to meet all their kids' needs to remember it's not just about jumping through the hoops. It's not just about answering the cries. It's really about finding God in that little face and serving our Lord through that child. When we come back, we're going to talk about more ways to stay connected to God throughout the day as Dr. Joseph White joins us to talk about ways to improve family prayer. Stick around for that and a whole lot more coming up after this.
Our economists believe conditions are improving and that worthwhile investment opportunities could be plentiful. Now could be a great time to consider the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. These pro-life, pro-family mutual funds have a strong track record. Ask your financial advisor about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds or call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 1-866-283-6274 or visit AveMariaFunds.com to learn more. Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationship with our Lord, our relationship with the church, the precepts of the church, our relationship with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father John Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from the Catholic perspective, on Christ is the Answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking today about staying connected to God in all the busyness and frustrations of everyday life. And here to help us, Dr. Joseph White is a Catholic psychologist and developmental and educational consultant for Our Sunday Visitor Publications. He's here to talk to us in his ongoing series on the habits of highly effective families. Today we're talking about family prayer. Dr. Joseph, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Greg and Lisa. Good to be here.
So let's talk about this. First of all, you know, just briefly, why is family prayer an essential ingredient of an effective family?
Well, you know, the family is the domestic church, and prayer really is our lifeline. Prayer is our connection to God. With all of our friends, and especially our very close friends, we have conversations. We stay connected, and conversations are about speaking and also listening as well. But for a family, it's very important to be in conversation with God so that we can raise our children to have relationship with Him, and so that we can be in relationship with Him and really be open to that grace of the sacrament of matrimony and the vocation of parenthood.
All right, so family prayer is important, but I know a lot of families who want to do it, but kind of get caught up in the mechanics of it. It's hard to make it happen consistently and be successful at it over the long haul. So you have some suggestions for families who are really, you know, wanting to do more with family prayer, but maybe have had a hard time getting it started and keeping it going.
Yeah, you know, one of the hardest parts of establishing new habits, and one of the ways that we sometimes will sabotage ourselves inadvertently, is that we will make a very hard and fast rule for ourselves and say, today, from now on, every day, at this time, we're going to pray a family rosary. And then, if there's a night when that can't happen, and you know, as anybody who lives in a family knows that things come up and routines change and emergencies happen and other kinds of things, that the first time that doesn't happen, then we feel like it's all fallen apart. And I think part of establishing a new habit is if we can see ourselves more as if we're training for an athletic event, right? And so if we are working out on a regular basis and then we don't work out as much at a particular point in the week, we don't say, okay, I'm going to give up altogether. We're going to say, I'm going to keep training. You know,
right, and you're able to be flexible enough to kind of adjust those times and keep it going. You also mentioned the importance of being creative, which is not something that a lot of people think of when it comes to prayer. I mean, a lot of people think of, you know, prayer is a very formulaic, kind of formatted thing, but you're saying it's important to be creative, especially when you're talking about family prayer. What do you mean by that?
Well, and I think that means a couple of different things. One is just in terms of when and how prayer happens. One of the things that you need for family prayer is for members of the family to be together. And so I think to look at what point in our lives as a busy family are we together right now. Sometimes for some families, they're together more in the car than they are anywhere else. And so that would be a good place to insert some family prayer because it's a natural together time. There are other natural times, hellos and goodbyes. In family life, in the morning before everybody leaves, in the evening when everybody gets home, you know, or before the kids go to bed. Those are natural points in the rhythm of family life. And I think we've got to be creative. Every family is a little different, and every family has a different routine. But
have to say, you know, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but as you're saying, you know, times when you're together, there are so many families now who are hardly ever together. And I have to say, yeah. This past weekend, Greg and our eldest daughter went off on a weekend together, and I was home with the other kids. But when it came to evening time, Greg called in. We all got on the phone together, and he blessed all the kids that were here. I blessed my daughter there. We all had a, you know, few minutes on the phone praying together, you know, between the phone and Skype and text. We can be more creative than ever. We just have to have some guts and do it.
We have the potential to be more connected than we ever have been through technology, and I think that's part of being creative about family prayer is when we can't physically be together, how can we connect together to unite in prayer to God?
So what about the different prayer forms? I mean, as Catholics, we have kind of a rich treasury of ways to pray. How does a family sort of discover the best way to pray for them?
Yeah, now, here I want to distinguish the difference between styles of prayer and forms of prayer, because the Catechism talks about some different forms of prayer, which include things like blessing, adoration, praise, prayers of petition, where we ask God for something, intercession, where we pray for somebody else, Thanksgiving, where we thank God for something. We want to include all of those in our prayer life at some point as a family. It may be different at different times, of course. But I think also in terms of styles of prayer, there are families that really enjoy praying the rosary together on a regular basis. There are also families where that might be less practical, maybe because of the age of the children. Maybe they're not ready for a prayer like the rosary yet. If you have, you know, preschoolers and toddlers, getting them to sit down to pray through a whole rosary with you may be a challenge. But I think looking at the developmental level of the children and saying, you know, what is a good length here? What is a good form of prayer? Some families go to adoration together. You know, some families will have an area in the home that's a home altar, and they'll gather around the home altar. I think that's great, especially for small children, because they're so concrete, and having some of those visual and tactile symbols of the faith really help bring that to life. And so they can go and say, hello and I love you to Mother Mary there on the home altar, and maybe kiss Jesus there on the home altar, and that's a very nice form of prayer for the very young children as well.
Yeah, being able to be physical that way is a beautiful thing for the youngest children. I want to ask you though, you know, a lot of parents kind of struggle to know what their kids are actually capable of. You know, we have a tendency to think my kid should be able to do this kind of prayer or this much prayer, and really kind of blow over their actual developmental capability. How can a parent know what their kid's actually capable of?
Well, and I think two factors are going to influence this. One is going to be the age and the developmental level of the child, because even with a lot of practice, we don't expect a two-year-old to have a 20 or 30-minute attention span. In fact, the latest research is telling us that kids' attention span is about equal to age in minutes, which is kind of a scary thought for many of us. But what that says is, if we're going to be operating in one mode, like, you know, we're kind of sitting and just praying out loud, so really it's the auditory mode. If we're operating in one mode, then it's going to be about equal to age in minutes at best. Now, when we bring some multisensory aspects in there, we can stretch that out just a little bit. The other thing is, it's a process of training, and anybody who has had young children and has helped them learn how to be respectful in mass, and you know, that can be a very long time sometimes for young children. But I've had many parents tell me, you know, when we started going to daily mass and we really got into kind of training for that, little by little they were able to sit there and be quiet for more and more until they finally got it. And so I also would encourage families to start small and broaden that as time goes on.
Practice really does make perfect. Dr. Joseph, I want to thank you for being with us today. And if folks would like to learn more about resources that will help them take better advantage of their faith in their own personal lives as well as in their families, go to osv.com, our Sunday Visitor Press, osv.com, which Dr. Joseph White is an educational and developmental consultant for. Thanks for being with us today, Dr. Joseph. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
And folks, we're continuing our conversation with you about staying connected to God and all the busyness and craziness of life. If you've got questions about family prayer, or you'd like to share something about those times when you feel closest to God, we want to hear from you at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Sharing your experiences of being close to God and your questions about bridging the gap. Stick around for more. More to Life, your questions, comments, and insights coming up right after this.
Today's programming on Ave Maria Radio is made possible in part by a contribution from our day sponsor. To celebrate the 91st birthday of Lola Marcy Bandico from her loving family in Metro Detroit, Lola Marcy is the mother of 5 children, 12 grandchildren, 1 great-grandson named John Carter, who is 4 years old, and 1 brand-new great-granddaughter named Jade Elizabeth.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
All are invited to Ave Maria University's Ann Arbor Founders Club First Friday Breakfast Series, featuring special guest speaker and apologist Steve Ray, Friday, July 1st at Domino's Farms. Mass will be at the Lobby C Chapel at 7 a.m. with a continental breakfast and a presentation to follow at the EBA Cafe in Lobby H. The cost is just $5 per person. RSVP by calling 734-930-3435 or email AnnArborFounders@gmail.com.
I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. In this June issue, we take a trip down memory lane. We follow up with past stories about many community members, some of which were on the cover. We wanted to know, where are they now? We caught up with comedian the Wacky Iraqi, former mayoral candidate Richard Sulaka, and inventor of Germs Be Gone, Josephine Davish Firmania, among others. We feature a story about local Muslims converting to Catholicism. Father Samim, whose Bible studies attract hundreds of people every week, celebrated the baptism of two Muslim families this past Easter weekend. Also, a group of powerful poets at the annual Poetry Slam contest were featured in this issue. Bashar Karma took first place for his piece on the devastation of abortion. Get your copy of the Chaldean News and learn more. You can subscribe or advertise today. Join Country Fresh, Sahara Restaurant, and Shenandoah Country Club. Log on to www.chaldeannews.com to find out more.
This is Dr. Greg Popchak. Is it possible to raise happy, healthy, holy children in today's world? You bet, if you take a few hints from the ultimate parent, Holy Mother Church. The first hint our Mother Church gives us is to be so attached to Christ that we look more like Him than we look to our peers. Our job as Catholic parents is to foster a family identity that our children want to be part of. Second, our Mother Church is faithful about family meals. Anytime we call on Him, Jesus is there, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Make your mealtime special. And make yourself available to your children. Third, Christ has very high standards for us, but when we mess up, our Mother Church is an extremely gentle disciplinarian. When we go to confession, we're smothered in love and mercy. The only thing we're asked in return is to spend time rebuilding our relationship with God and others. And Catholic parents should ask the same of their children when confronting wrongs. If it works on the whole of humanity, it'll work for your family. For more on Catholic parenting, visit moretoliferadio.com.
You're listening to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today, can you hear me now? How about now? Can you hear me now? We're talking about staying connected to God and how we sometimes drop those calls throughout the course of our busy and frustrating days. We're talking about reconnecting with Him, reestablishing service, if you will, so that we can cooperate more effectively with His grace. We were just talking with Dr. Joseph White about family prayer. Yeah, if you want to share those times that you feel closest to God, when you really feel like God's come through for you in a special way, I know that our listeners would really appreciate hearing those sharings from you guys. On the other hand, if you want to talk a little bit about the challenges that you face in staying connected to God, we want to hear from you, too, so that we can support each other in that faith journey and, you know, help each other stay connected and strive toward that unity that we used to have. The theology of the body talks about the original unity between God and man and woman. 877-573-7825, toll-free number to call.
Let's go now to Adrian in Arizona.
Hey, Adrian, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi, thank you for listening, having me call in. I just wanted to talk about my experience on how I got my children to increase their prayer life.
Awesome.
But I had to start with myself.
Yeah. Well, you can't give what you don't have, right?
Exactly. and it came down to just creating new habits for myself. And making time for prayer in everything that I did, whether it was working out instead of listening to my rock music, Christian music, or Ave Maria radio on my iPhone.
Yeah.
Yes, or just anything there, yeah. That had to
and
do...
And she mentioned the iPhone app. We have to say that.
Yes.
You can listen anywhere now.
I take
Android,
that everywhere.
Now too. Yeah.
But it was just starting with myself and creating those habits where I had God surrounding me all the time in everything I did, working out, cleaning, in my job during my breaks.
You're taking a page from St. Patrick's book. God before me, God behind me, God through me, God in me. That's St. Patrick's prayer.
That's fantastic.
Exactly. And I saw that just doing that, it wasn't easy at first, but a little bit at a time and just giving myself the time to do it, it became easier and easier, and now it's my whole world. I don't really find enjoyment in other things other than being surrounded by God. So then I started with my children, and I did what the gentleman was talking about earlier, was prayer in the car, because that seemed to be where everybody was settled down, people were listening, and we...
They're all trapped.
Yeah, exactly. They're trapped in their seats. And started prayer that way, and started out with just open prayer, praying to our Blessed Mother, just words, pretty much just talking and telling the kids, you can talk to God, you can talk to our Blessed Mother, just tell her what you want to tell her or tell God what you want. And then we eventually increased it to prayers of consecration and then the Divine Mercy, where from the time we start in the car to school, we've said all our prayers. And then I increased it in the evening, where we started out with a decade of the rosary. And I started when my son was 5 years old. And it was really hard to get him to get on board with it. He was only 5 years old, wants to run around, wants to play. So I just started out with a decade of the rosary and just gave it the time for it to flourish, for it to happen in God's time. And sometimes our schedule got interrupted, so if we didn't get to say the decade of the rosary at first, I was really upset, and then I said, you know what, I've got to just let God work with it. And then eventually, now we're to a point where we recite the entire rosary, and I've even gotten them to recite it on their knees.
Wow.
And it's just a little bit at a time, and working with them and helping them to understand how important this is.
You know, and the beautiful thing about this that I want to really emphasize, regardless of the specific ways a family prays or the specific prayer forms they might use or styles that they use, what I like about your approach is that you were consistent, you persevered, you were very gentle about it. You know, you didn't get hysterical when like you said at first, you used to get upset, but you really worked through that. You know, and so you were able to kind of also model that prayerful life yourself to your kids. And so you're really kind of covering all the bases there. So ultimately, whatever a family decides to do that works well for them, they're going to use a very similar process that you used. You know, centering mom and dad in prayer first, then being consistent with that structure for the kids, persevering through those challenges and those threats to that schedule and that routine, and continuing to lead them along into deeper and more enriching forms of prayer as they develop and mature in age and wisdom and grace. That's a beautiful process that you laid out there, Adrian, and I want to thank you.
I just want to speak to what God did to my family and my marriage through that. I had a very dysfunctional marriage, a very miserable marriage and family life. And through that prayer, starting with me and then with my kids, God was able to mend a lot of the issues that was breaking up my marriage and breaking up the family. And now it's to a point where my husband has joined us in prayer, in open prayer. He's a Protestant, we're Catholic, but we've been able to become united in prayer in that way.
Praise God.
And it's just a testimony as to how powerful prayer is in the family. My grandmother used to always tell me, the family that prays together stays together.
Oh, sure. Well, absolutely. You know, and I got to say, that's Father Patrick Payton, and I'm on the board for Holy Cross Family Ministries, which is an organization Father Patrick Payton started, and that's his famous quote. And he was a big advocate of the family rosary and family prayer.
The ministry still is.
And I want to thank you for sharing your story. I have to let you go with that, Adrian, but thank you so much for being willing to share that witness. And God really does profoundly touch the lives of the people who love him whenever they reach out to him. And the story that Adrian told, I hear it again and again and again.
Well, and I'm so grateful to Adrian for calling in and encouraging other parents out there to do this kind of thing. I know, you know, she's saying that now her kids are actually doing a rosary on their knees. I know that, you know, one of the ways that our kids learned to pray the rosary was given to me an idea by another mother when our oldest were very little. And one of the things that she did was for every decade of the rosary, and sometimes she'd just do one decade a night with them, but for as many as she could get through, the littlest ones, the twos, threes, fours, fives,
those were the ones who were given crayons and paper, and she said, okay, this is what we're praying about. And she'd read a little bit, you know, from the scripture about what that mystery was, you know, the resurrection or whatever the mystery was for the day. And she'd say, well, we're praying this. Draw me a picture of it. And so it gave the kids a wonderful mental image of why they were doing this, that this was a time where you pray to the Blessed Mother to get closer to Jesus, to pray for people's needs, to pray for the world. But this is what you were actually thinking about. And she said not only did it help the kids really get in touch with Jesus and the Blessed Mother and all of those stories, you know, all those scriptures that go with the rosary, but it also helped her because it helped her not worry about them fidgeting so much. And she'd look at their pictures, these wonderful mental images. It helped her actually meditate on the rosary, which is what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to be just, you know, reciting it. We're supposed to be meditating on those mysteries. And it was a really neat idea that another mom passed on to me.
Great resource. And we do offer other suggestions for increasing family prayer and the you know, the experience of grace in your home in our chapter in Parenting with Grace called, what is it called? I'm sorry.
Which chapter?
Oh, Soul Food. It's called Soul Food. Yeah, sorry. Teaching your kids. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. A little senior moment there. Anyway, yeah. In Parenting with Grace, there's a chapter called Soul Food where we talk about how to really encourage family prayer and foster your kids' spiritual life. So check that out. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, more with your calls at 877-573-7825. If you'd like to share some things that are working for you in your spiritual life, those times that you feel closest to God, times when God's really come through for you in ways that made you feel His presence. Or, on the other hand, if you're struggling, you know, maybe you're feeling a little distant from God lately, some unanswered prayers or dryness, doubts, frustrations, we've all been there. Let's support each other through that process so that we can feel that unity again, feel that grace, cooperate with His Spirit. 877-573-7825. Stick around for more to life coming up after this.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Representative Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota officially launched her campaign for the Republican nomination Monday. Bachmann becomes the first woman hoping to take on pro-abortion President Barack Obama. From Minnesota and born in Iowa, site of first primaries, Bachmann has a long 100% pro-life record. The Texas state legislature has approved the Senate Bill 7 Conference Committee report that would revoke the taxpayer funding for the Planned Parenthood abortion business. With the actions by the state House and Senate, the measure now heads to pro-life Governor Rick Perry for his signature. With pro-life Governor Scott Walker signing the state budget into law in Wisconsin, the Badger State becomes the fourth to cut funding for Planned Parenthood, following decisions by Indiana, North Carolina, and Kansas to revoke funding entirely. The legislation redirects $1 million away from Planned Parenthood to other agencies that ostensibly do not provide abortions. This is Life News Radio. After facing the reality of abortion, the next thing to face is that there are millions of women, men also, with an abortion in their past who need and deserve love. Yes, love and healing after an abortion. If you or someone you love is hurting after abortion, visit rachelsvineyard.org or call 877-HOPE-FOR-ME. 877-HOPE-FOR-ME. Florida Governor Rick Scott has signed two pro-life bills that would help stop abortions, including one that calls for tightening parental involvement laws on teen abortions. Another allows women to see an ultrasound of their baby before any abortion. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking with you about staying connected to God. Really, just being able to walk with Him throughout the course of the day. We were kind of doing some math earlier in the program where, you know, if you even manage to get a half an hour of one-on-one prayer time, we really encourage at least that, right? But it's hard to do. But if you did that consistently, that's really only 2% of your day. Well, how do you stay close to Him the other 98%? Well, if you'd like to share some experiences of times when you feel closest to God, we'd love to hear from you. Times when God's really come through for you in a way that made you feel his presence, again, we'd love to hear from you. But if you're also struggling, because maybe you feel a little distant from God lately, some unanswered prayers, some dryness, doubts, frustrations, let's talk it out together. Because remember, the theology of the body reminds us that we were created for original unity, for that intense, intimate union with God and all people together. But, of course, original sin broke that. And ever since then, history has been a story of God trying to reclaim us and invite us back into that unity. So today, taking our cue from the theology of the body, we are reflecting on how to really reconnect and stay in touch with God. 877-573-7825. We put the question out on our Facebook page. And if you'd like to participate in those conversations, we'd love to have you there as part of among our fans on the Facebook. You can go to your Facebook page, type in the search bar there, more, space, the number 2, space, life. I spell it out because sometimes people say, oh, I have a hard time finding that. So it's more, space, number 2, another space, and life. And then you want to put in pop track after that. It's P-O-P-C-A-K. Sounds like there's an H, but there isn't. P-O-P-C-A-K. And you'll come to the Mortal Life Facebook page. Once you're there, after all that, then you can participate in the conversations. You can learn more about the resources we recommend on the program and also even get some discounts. We have some discount code there that you can use at the Pastoral Solutions Institute store. So today, we ask the question, when do you feel closest to God? Got a lot of really good feedback.
Peg says, often when she least expects it.
I chuckled about that one because I just imagine God kind of hopping out from behind the bush saying,
oh, I'm here, Peg.
You know, ta-da! Love that.
Oh, and that's a good thing, too, because when you least expect it, it's nice. It is a nice surprise. That, wow, okay, God's here, even when I'm not expecting it, even when I'm slightly distracted. That's a beautiful thing. Sometimes when we have to put a whole lot of effort into our prayer life, it's like, okay, well, good, he showed up. But when it's those little things that come unexpectedly, it can be a really cherished gift, just like when anybody gives us a gift or stops by to say hi. It's kind of special.
We were talking about the rosary with Adrian. Ron on Facebook says, I hold the rosary and remember that it's like holding Our Lady's hand. I'm a child walking along with my mom and my dad.
I love
that. That's beautiful.
I love that. And, you know, I was told that by a friend of mine who lives down the block a few years ago. And she said, you know, she was talking about a day when she was just feeling so sick and so terrible. And she's got, I think, 8 or 9 kids now. And she said, sometimes I just can't get out a rosary. But she said the same thing. She said, if I can just lay in bed and hold the Blessed Mother's hand by holding my rosary and just ask her to hold me very tightly. And I know that really affected me, which is why we, you know, ask people to call in or go to our Facebook page and share this kind of wisdom, because you never know when you hear those one or two things, how it can change your prayer style, how it can make you feel closer to God. And I know when my friend Marianne said that to me, it's something that I've passed on to my kids. You know, when our kids have had nightmares or things like that, often I'll say, you know, hold your rosary, ask the Blessed Mother to hold your hand. After I've calmed them down, I don't just say, go back in and hold the rosary. But after we've had some time to calm them down and things like that, and it's time for me to leave their side, you know, I put them in the Blessed Mother's hand. I want to make that clear, because some people are going to go to bed and hold your rosary and get over it. That's not what I'm talking about. But
that
Ron's wisdom has been shared with me before and affected me very much.
Melissa writes, outside of Eucharistic adoration, I feel closest to God when I hold one of my children.
That's the one. I shared that earlier, and I just think that was so true and so beautiful.
And those are the two times when I feel closest to God, too. When I can get that one-on-one time, that's fantastic. But when I can really connect with one of the kids, I do feel closest to God then, too.
Because I feel
really
that way
feel
if
moving.
I can connect with you or one of the children or all the children, like when we're all laughing and we all feel really connected, I definitely feel God's presence more than any other time.
Well, let's see what some of our listeners have to say at 877-573-7825.
Well, let's ask Lars in San Antonio.
Hey there, Lars. Welcome to Mortal Life. When do you feel closest to God?
Hi. When the right people share their thoughts with me, I will get revelations now and then. I feel that it's like how love you can't find, it finds you.
Mm-hmm.
They say the same thing about happiness, don't they?
Yeah, and it says on the board that you kind of hear God speaking to you through your wife sometimes. I'm sure there are a lot of wives out there who would like their husbands to think that way about them. No, I'm just teasing. But no, seriously, God does speak to us through other people, and you were saying that your wife is one of those people that God speaks to you through.
And never in a way of what do you call that, in a discursive manner. I mean, it's just in little bits revealed, and not when expect it to, not when you're calling. You can't just like the, love finding you. It comes, and you just have to sort of be what's the word? You passively
you ready to receive
open
it?
Yourself. Exactly.
To be receptive. You know, the theology of the body talks about that need to be receptive and open ourselves to be active recipients, to be actively receptive to God's grace. And two things I want to just comment on here. When you say, that God speaks to you through your marriage, through your wife, to you, all joking aside, there are two ways that I experience that, and I think that every couple should. The first way is the way that the church really talks about that marriage is supposed to be a physical sign to the husband and wife about how much God loves the husband and the wife. That, I need to be able to look at Lisa, and she needs to be able to look at me and say, I know God loves me because nobody could love me as much as you do on their own power. So that's one way that we all married couples can kind of hear God speaking to them through their spouse. The other way, of course, is that when one spouse goes to the other and says, I need this from you. I think the self-donative nature of marriage, the theology of the body talks about, kind of requires us to see our spouse's requests as an invitation from God to grow in ways that we'd never grow if we were left to our own devices. So if Lisa says, hey, Greg, I really need this from you, or it really mean a lot to me if you do that, I try not to just hear it as, oh, well, she's asking for something else from me, or the marriage needs something else, but rather I'm hearing God asking me to grow in ways that I would never grow if he'd not given me this wonderful woman to share my life. So, Lars, thanks for sharing that. I appreciate your call, Virginia, as well. I'm sorry we've run out of time, but please do call us back again. We'd love to hear from all of our listeners. Folks, you can also become fans of Immortal Life on Facebook. Check that out at More to Life on Facebook. Become part of the conversations there and learn more about our resources. You can also visit us online at moretoliferadio.com. where you can check out our books and the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with me and lots of other good people to help you get your marriage, family, or personal life where God wants it to be. MortalLifeRadio.com or call to make an appointment for the counseling at 740-266-6461. 740-266-6461. And remember, when you're tempted to settle, with God's grace, there really can be more to life.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck is produced by Ave Maria Radio in association with the Pastoral Solutions Institute. Find out more at moretoliferadio.com. More to Life is made possible on Ave Maria Radio in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. More to Life, the life you were meant to live.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. Ever wondered what it's like to be a foster parent? Don't miss an informational session on foster parenting Friday, July 8th at St. Francis Family Center in Southfield. All your questions will be answered. Call 248-552-0750 for further details. All are invited to a local musician Chris DuPont's album release show Saturday, July 9th at Ann Street Music Room in Ypsilanti. Admission is $5, $3 with a student ID, and the evening will feature the music talents of Chris DuPont with special guests Christopher Adam and Luke Frutig. For more information, call 734-829-0148. You can find many more events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
For Christians, Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, who died for the sins of the world and who rose from the dead in triumph over sin and death. For non-Christians, he's almost anything else.
Pope Benedict XVI challenges both believers and unbelievers to decide who Jesus of Nazareth is and what he means for them. Jesus of Nazareth, from his transfiguration through his death and resurrection,